Does the Bible say money is evil? Two equally incorrect beliefs about money are that it is always evil and that it is always good. But doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? No, it does not. What it says is this: the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Men have betrayed their countries for financial gain. This is evil. But the evil doesn't reside in the money. It resides in the men. Money isn't evil. Money love is evil. 1 Timothy 4:4 and 5 says, "Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer." Money can be used to buy a slave or a whip, to be used on a slave. Money can purchase sex, bribe a judge, buy cocaine, and fund terrorist acts. In each case, the people using the money are evil, but money itself is not evil. Likewise, when a woman gives her money to help the poor, it isn't the money that's good. She is good. We should not scorn money, but thank God for it, rejoicing that we can use it for honorable purposes. We should manage it wisely and use it thoughtfully and generously for God's glory and people's good. God not only commanded his people Israel to give, but he also told them that they could convert their material assets to money. Then they could use it to buy food, to celebrate with their families in a feast to be enjoyed in God's presence, Deuteronomy 14:24-26. In other words, money could be used for God-honoring purposes. Money merely symbolizes wealth. Gold, silver, platinum, coins, and currency are worth something only in a society where other people have agreed to attach value to them. Money is nothing more than a pledge of assets, a means of payment, a medium of exchange. People may be moral or immoral, but things are morally neutral and can be used for good purposes or bad. Is it possible to both follow God and make money? To regard money as evil and therefore useless for purposes of righteousness is foolish. To regard it as good and therefore overlook its potential for spiritual disaster is equally foolish. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money." Luke 16:13. Use money, but don't serve it. See it for what it is and for what it isn't. Money makes a terrible master, yet it makes a good servant to those who have the right master, God. The goal, then, is not to put money to death, but to handle it with respect and discipline, like a lion we are seeking to tame. Materialism is money-centered and things-centered rather than God-centered. As we'll see in subsequent chapters, it has no place in the Christian life. The other extreme is asceticism. Asceticism sees money and things as evil. To the ascetic, the less you own, the more spiritual you are. If something isn't essential, you shouldn't have it. Materialism and asceticism are rooted in equally wrong views of money and possessions. Martin Luther compared humanity to a drunkard who falls off his horse to the right, gets back on, and then falls off to the left. Asceticism is falling off the horse on one side. Materialism is falling off the other side. As Luther said, Satan doesn't care which side of the horse we fall off as long as we don't stay in the saddle. Scripture portrays the relationship between the material and the spiritual not as either or, but as both and. The material must not take precedence over the spiritual, but it is nonetheless a necessary and legitimate part of our existence. Paul captured this principle when he thanked the Philippian church for supporting his ministry. "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." Philippians 4:11-12. A proverb makes a similar point. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, for if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." Proverbs 30:8-9. Our greatest resources are spiritual, not material. They come from another world, not this one. Paul had to learn contentment. That means it didn't come naturally for him. Contentment isn't the product of material abundance. It comes from accessing our intangible but very real resources in Christ. Is it right for Christians to have material possessions and enjoy them? The entire fabric of Old Testament teaching and Hebrew thought argues against Platonic dualism, the theory that the body is bad and the soul is good, therefore you can separate the two, and asceticism, the idea that anything physical, like money and possessions, is evil. There are not two gods, a god of the spiritual and a god of the physical. The same God created both the spiritual and physical worlds for us to enjoy. God's people, Israel, viewed material things as gifts from God's hand, as a father's loving provision for his children. As his grateful children, they celebrated the harvest and national feasts mandated in his law to them to recognize and rejoice in his material provision. For 7 days you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place he chooses, for it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvests and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Deuteronomy 16:15. Generating income is a necessary and God-ordained part of life in the present world and is therefore not unspiritual. We should commend those who choose to live simply or strategically so that a larger portion of their income helps the needy. But we should neither disdain income production nor withdraw from the system as if economics were sinful. If we do, we'll end up contributing to poverty rather than alleviating it. We must all battle materialism, not by withdrawing from society, but by serving God faithfully within it.